My name is Leslie Zemsky. I'm the president of the board of the Buffalo Fine Arts Academy, and this is a fabulous day and morning and really exciting time for the whole arts community in Buffalo. And it's my pleasure to welcome all of you, our friends in the media. We have board members here. We have members from the arts community, friends of the Albright Knox. I would also like to welcome Kimberly Trent, who's representing Mayor Brown's office, and Megan Corbett, who is representing Congressman Higgins' office. It's my pleasure to also introduce to you Tom Hyde, if you want to just raise your hand. Tom, I can't say enough thanks, and I'm happy to share with you. He was the chair of our search committee and did a fabulous job of really rallying the troops. We had a wonderful search process. We engaged the international firm Russell Reynolds, and through that process and a group of 13 trustees from the board who served on the committee, we just went all in and wanted to find the best director. We combed the world, as you see, to find the best 11th director of the Albright Knox. So it is my pleasure. I'm going to just give you a few quick words because really Yane is going to share more about his background and what attracted him to come to the Albright Knox and to Buffalo. But Dr. Yane Seren, he's the director of the Helsinki Art Museum in Helsinki, Finland. We were attracted to him because he is a visionary arts director. He's also very engaged in the whole Helsinki, Finland, and really European art community. And as we in Buffalo, at the Albright Knox, as we look to develop our cultural tourism industry, we're very excited to bring a leader in who can really play a role, bring a lot of fresh ideas to the museum and also to our region. Dr. Seren was educated. He went to the College of Holy Cross for undergraduate, so he's really American educated, and he also has his master's degree and PhD from NYU. I'm actually not going to say any more because at this point it's my complete pleasure to welcome to the Albright Knox, to Buffalo, and to introduce to you Dr. Yane Seren.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to be saying these words of initial greeting to you today here in Buffalo. Seven different countries, several different cities. This, for me, is a homecoming. So I want to thank Tom and Leslie and the entire search committee for a uniquely brilliant process. You know, sometimes these can be quite excruciating. Not fun from the candidate's vantage point, at least. This one was just delightful from the get-go. And I also want to say that even before I faced the orchestra, meaning the first interview, the moment I touched down in Buffalo, you know, it was amazing. From the Hertz car rental, and this is not an advertisement, to the moment I checked in at the mansion, I mean, it's, you know, it's just the friendliest place on the planet, and I think that that can easily be a motto for the city, and it's not an exaggeration. It speaks about the way things are here. My first evening, I didn't know anybody, of course, so I went to a restaurant and had a conversation with someone who was a nurse at the Veterans Hospital, and you know, he ended up telling me about which sports games you can take your kids to. That, you know, apparently the Sabres okay for young ones, but you know, the Bills you want to be a little thoughtful about. So, you know, I'm sure that you'll be able to share a lot of nuance about those things with me, and I look forward to becoming sort of a more educated member of Buffalonian society. Together with my three children, aged 3, 5, and 8. There's a boy in the middle, framed by two lovely girls. And, of course, my wife, Sonia, who is looking forward to moving to Buffalo and helping me with the intense job search. It seems like a job search. It's an apartment or a house search. I've been getting a lot of interesting pointers on that front and look forward to many more conversations. Just a few words about my background. I was born in Helsinki, Finland. but was educated in an international school during my elementary years. It was an odd thing to be studying in Finland in the English language in the 1970s. Keep in mind, it's the longest border at the time with the Soviet Union of any country in Europe. Finland is in a precarious position, and for whatever reason, my parents sort of had the vision that English might one day become globally the most important language. In Finland, nobody thought that in the 1970s. It was German and French. Of course, next to the national languages, Finnish and Swedish. But so my brother and I were educated in English, and when I was 13 years old, the family moved onwards to Switzerland, and I grew up in Lugano, which is a small, picturesque postcard town about an hour north of Milano. And there, you know, the linguistic pool included German, Italian, and French. But again, I was in an American high school, middle school, and then in an American high school in Switzerland. And from there, the logical step was to move onwards to the United States. I did my undergraduate degree at Holy Cross, as Leslie mentioned. I did not come in as an art history major. I thought I would become, you know, somebody who works on the international arena in the field of international relations. Somehow, it is something that I still do. But I was a poli-sci major, and most important, most sort of enthusiastically, I was engaged with the Holy Cross crew team. So I was in an 8-man boat, waking up early every morning and being pretty tired in class. And professor then, you know, I had to take a mandatory art history course, Art 101. And then I got called in by the professor, and I thought that now I've been sleeping too much, and I have to sort of perk up a bit. And Professor Jody Ziegler, who's not with us anymore, she passed away a few years ago, essentially told me that in her several decades of teaching, she had never encountered someone who, on a piece of paper, connected words with images in this type of a manner. And she told me that you've got to quit crew, and you've got to switch majors and become, you know, an art historian. And it was sort of, whoa, that's a little heavy for a rower. We are used to the coxswains telling us what to do. And in this case, it was an art history professor who, after keeping the effort up, was able to convince me to become an art historian, and that's then what I've done for over two decades now. So from Holy Cross, I moved onwards to the Institute of Fine Arts in New York at New York University, had the privilege to study over there with remarkable scholars, Robert Rosenblum, Linda Nochlin, Jonathan Brown, Rob Lubar, many pioneers of the field and discipline of art history. Worked also closely with New York galleries and art museums. You know, every time there was a show going up at MoMA, we'd be somehow involved as graduate students doing the research for it. Then came a little peculiar piece of in my sort of early years and just at the end of my graduate studies. In Finland, military service is compulsory. So in 1999, I had one chapter left in my PhD, and I had to go to the Army, and I thought I'm going to be extremely bored, and it's going to be a totally odd experience to be, you know, in a uniform in Finland after not living in that country for several years. So I applied and was accepted. I thought it might be more exciting to do something a little sort of adrenaline-filled. So I applied and was accepted to a special forces unit and spent a good part of the year jumping out of helicopters and airplanes and becoming a special forces operative. Now, the importance of that experience, I think, to museum work is that I know something about fostering a sense of togetherness. I know what it means to be a team in tough conditions, and I know what it means when we are told that you know, a task is impossible. For us, there is no task that is impossible. It just takes a little longer. And that's the way, you know, that's the lesson I drew from my stint as a special forces operative in the Finnish Defense Forces. Well, from Finland, from the Finnish Army then, I moved onwards to academia and worked for 4 years as an assistant visiting professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, teaching courses in art history, basically modern and contemporary art, museology, aesthetics, and critical theory. There I was privileged to be involved in a program, sort of a new program that another professor and I sort of created from scratch, a way to connect MFA students, young artists with the discipline of art history, and it was a wonderful thing to see art historians and artists intermingling in a classroom. Certainly a lesson that will be important for my work here in Buffalo. And all the time as these things are going on, you know, the stint in Finland, Jerusalem, I'm thinking I will now return home to the United States, which is my cultural and intellectual home, both through education and the fact that I've lived in the United States longer than I have in Helsinki, for example. But somehow that plan got pushed back a bit when I was nominated to become the director of the Tampere Art Museum. Tampere is an old industrial city in the Lake District of Helsinki that has given itself a new identity as a cultural hub. The industry is gone. The museums are in. Education and research are in. Again, I think important discussion points and lessons to be shared with my community here in Buffalo. And from Tampere, then I moved onwards to Helsinki, the capital of Finland, and became the director of one of the largest cultural institutions in the Nordic region. It's more than a museum director's job. It's that of a visual arts commissioner. It's that of someone who really represents Helsinki and Finland and the Nordic region internationally, insofar as culture and the arts are concerned. Many different types of initiatives over the past 5 years, a lot of travel days, and a lot of good experiences, I think, on which we together can build on here in Buffalo. Well, enough about the past, a few words about the future. Of course, it's entirely premature to sort of make any platforms or pronouncements about what we're going to do. But I very much look forward to working with the wonderful staff of the Albright Knox. I mean, it's a tremendous group of people. I just, you know, it was such a pleasant moment that we had together yesterday. And I know it's been a little embarrassing. I've been going sort of incognito here in the galleries, and people are wondering who is this strange fellow, you know, walking around with some reporter following him. So I apologize for that to the staff of the Albright Knox. You are a wonderful group of individuals, and I can't wait to start work with you. And, you know, the dedication of the board of directors, I've had such an honor to meet many of you. I look forward to meeting those of you whom I have not yet had the chance to meet. And, you know, I admire your dedication. I know how important the Albright Knox is to you and to the Buffalo community and to the region and the county and, in fact, to the Empire State and to the United States. So it's a great privilege, honor, and a tremendous responsibility as well that you've bestowed upon me, and I hope that I can fulfill the expectations that you have, perhaps have been thinking about when you thought of me. One of the things, looking again a little bit beyond the next hill, that we may be thinking about in the future is technology. I've had the privilege to work with some great minds in the digital arena, CEO of Nokia, top leadership of Google, other innovative companies that, you know, are thinking about how to reinvent the ball, essentially, in the digital universe. I think it gives us many opportunities. The Albright Knox has a globally resonant, significant, and important collection. But we must perhaps ask ourselves the question, how can we share this unique national treasure, these national treasures, with a broader global community? And I think that if we can be pioneers in the field of combining traditional modes of presentation with contemporary ones, technological ones, we can really make a significant footprint in that arena. Another thing that I think we must be attentive to is that culture is something that provides us with a sense of identity, with a sense of self-confidence, with a sense of belonging. So when we ask ourselves the question, why is it important that we do what we do? It is important because it's the future of our children that we are talking about. Culture is not the only arena in which we build our identities and lay our anchors. Athletics and sports are important as well. And, you know, as you've heard, and as I've told you and shared with you, I've got a bit of a sports background myself. However, sometimes it may be so that the gratification that we get from sports is more immediate. It's something that we feel the hype in the moment as it happens. culture happens a little slower, but the crop that can be sort of taken from investing in culture is enduring. It lasts for centuries. And on this topic, I know what I'm talking about because most of my academic work has been in the field of identity construction through culture. I've seen nations built on a foundation of culture, and I've seen nations falter because they've lacked that foundation. These are not light issues, and the most important thing, I guess, is that ultimately culture is fun. And I want to share that spirit of fun with everyone here, with the Buffalo community, and with anybody who is willing to listen. And I'm a talker, so, you know, I'll be, you know, rubbing your ears with my words. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here. I couldn't be more pleased, and I'm just so excited to be moving here. And thank you for the warm, warm welcome.